four different entities or factions, if you will, that are speaking to us out of this psalm. It's a little difficult to follow when one finishes and the other one begins to speak. But if you take some time, if you want to go back over it, study that a little bit and understand that, that's not necessarily pertinent to my message today. But the prophet speaks, the adversaries speak, Jehovah speaks, and Messiah speaks in that chapter as well. And I love so much what Brother Carlton shared with us in his presentation and teaching this morning. Aren't you glad that we have the advantage that our predecessors did not have? At least in our hard places, in our hard trials, we have the Word of God and the source. When somebody else maybe that should have obeyed God and didn't, or missed God's will, that should have sent us a word or a phone call or a text message or whatever, but they didn't do it and we didn't get it. Nobody pats you on the back. Nobody has an encouraging word. Matter of fact, at times it seems like it's the opposite. Have you ever been showed your faults? Don't feel too good, does it? But even in that time, we have the Word of God we can go to and find source and strength that will speak to us directly out of the Word. Job didn't have that. A lot of these authors, because they were the author, they didn't have it. But thank God we have that advantage. Praise God. If you can follow and pay attention to who's speaking, it will give some continuity to the text. So let's begin reading, especially those first two verses. That's the prophet asking the question. Let's read it together, if you will, collectively. Psalm chapter 2, verse number 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. I want to double down on those first three words of verse number 12. Verse number 12, first three words. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. I want to use for a title today five words. Feigned affection, comma, keep it real. Feigned affection, keep it real. Praise God. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. There's no doubt in my mind in this second psalm that this is a prophecy of Christ. And the Son that He's speaking of here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But there are some other things that I want to pull from, not leaving that, because we're going to come back to that. But it's important for us to make our affection known. It's important to have an external and a public display of our affection toward Him. But it needs to be real. and we need to keep it real. Amen. There is an extremely compelling story found in the second Samuel chapter 14 that the ages do not seem to have the power to erase the impact of the message. It is an ongoing saga of a family torn apart because of an extremely horrific moral failure of the great King David. One chapter of this saga culminates with a treasonous act of murder upon a half-brother. And sometimes we think we have problems. You know, sometimes we just need to get our life in perspective. You know, I hear people talk about a lot. It's become a word of our time that they come from a dysfunctional family. Well, there's a lot of dysfunction in a lot of families, but right here is one on display. This family is extremely dysfunctional. All of these horrible things that have happened, and I don't have time. I have it other times, and other times I will again to go into all of the things that led up to this exposure of this moral failure from such an otherwise great man, the man that we know as King David, the man after God's own heart. But because of this moral failure allowed him to be exposed to the enemy, to come in with a sword. Even in his time of repentance, when Nathan the prophet came and before him exposed his sin through a word picture, and David immediately repented like he always was so good at doing. But yet, even though he repented and he found forgiveness and favor from God, there also was that thing that always happens. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Just because you get forgiveness of something does not necessarily mean that there won't be a follow-up of something that you've sown in the past. Because these laws of the harvest come to pass. It's a part of life. It's a part of truth. It's a part of reality. And these things happen. So Nathan tells David there's going to be a sword that is going to be in your house. And that's what's happened. He is seeing this. David is seeing this play out. Praise God. After this horrific murder takes place, there's a space of 5 years without any contact between this murderous son and his father, the king. Amen. Now we learn something very insightful to our human nature. It is possible to have a public expression of affection and it not be real. 5 years when Absalom rose up and he got all the king's sons to this party, if you will, that he's having, and he gets them all out of town and all out of the protection, away from the protection of David and his men, and they're having this party and they're drunken, and he has certain people to come in. They rise up and they slay this half brother Amnon, and there's such turmoil and chaos at that moment. And as oft times it is, oft times when there's a horrific act, you notice it even in our news media now. Most of the time, the first report you hear is not correct. Most of the time, there's a lot of details that hasn't yet surfaced. And so it was with this. When David first got the word, it was all your sons are dead. The first report that David got concerning this horrific tale that I'm telling you of, the first report was all of them are gone. And David is in shock and he don't know what to do. And then finally, I believe it's Jonadab comes in and says, no, it's not all of them. It's just Amnon. And there was some consoling of David. But for 5 years, 3 years, Absalom is in exile. He goes to his grandfather and he spends time there, and there comes a desire among some of the nation and some of the hierarchy of David's kingdom to bring this son back and have this family restored and try to put back the pieces of what's left, to try to reconstruct something, at least to make everybody in the nation feel better that at least the problems in the monarchy is somewhat straightened out. Well, in 3 years, they did bring him back. I'm probably spending too much time here. Even after Absalom was back in Jerusalem, there was 2 years that he still did not have contact with his father. So there's a space of 5 years. And after Joab gets the woman of Tekoa to go in and puts words in her mouth, and David realizes again through word picture that they're speaking about him, that he allows Absalom to be brought back into the kingdom, and there's a public display. 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 33. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king and kissed. And the king kissed. And the king kissed Absalom. Amen. It was a public display of affection. But there was not forgiveness in this public display of affection. There was not a mending of the emotions and the problems that had brought about this separation. Amen. Oh, I wish I could help somebody here this morning. The prophet said, "This people honoreth me with their lips." How many remember that? But their heart, amen, with their lips, there's a public display of affection. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love being in your house. Lord, I love your people. Lord, I love your saints. Lord, I love the songs. Lord, but my heart is somewhere else. Amen. There's something that's very insightful about human nature. It is possible to have a public expression and not really, really come from our heart. Sometimes brothers and sisters fake it. Amen. Sometimes moms and dads fake it. Y'all going to help me preach here this morning? Sometimes husbands and wives fake it. They put on a good public display in public, but their heart is not in that marriage. Their heart is not in their brothers and sisters. Moms and dads, their heart are not in the problems and the issues of their family. Democrats and Republicans, come on now. Sometimes there's a public show of affection, but they're miles apart, separated. Am I doing y'all any good so far this morning? Amen. You know, there's a little quote I heard recently. I believe the man's name was R.T. McReynolds. I believe, I'm not sure, not trying to give it credit to the wrong place. And sometimes this happens in the church family. This little quote I'm going to share with you. It said, living with the saints above is glory. Living with the saints below, now that's a different story. Living with the saints above, it's all going to be wonderful and bliss. Everything's going to be wonderful in heaven. But now living with them here, just a public expression of affection does not always translate to a true reflection of forgiveness in the heart. That truth will bear out later in this account. But I would like for you to look at a couple of accounts from the New Testament. And let's do a little compare and contrast. And maybe I'm not doing much preaching, but I sure do feel this on my heart. And I hope these words that I'm speaking to you are resonating with you. I hope we'll think about it. We'll think about it. What are we showing? That the Psalm said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Amen. One of the Pharisees, this is in Luke chapter 7, verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. A lot of you Bible readers that study, you'll understand this is the time that Jesus was eating in the house of Simon the leper. And that does not necessarily mean that Simon was a leper that had been healed. It could have even been like a last name. There's a lot of things there besides just what seems to be obvious, but possibly, there's numbers of ways that it could be, but we do know that Simon, this particular Simon was a Pharisee. He desired for Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, it makes note of that, amen, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. Amen. And did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Amen. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He did not say it out loud. He did not speak it out loud. He spake within himself saying, this man, talking about Jesus, if he really was a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Nobody could ever get anything past Jesus. You don't have to speak it out loud. Hear me right now. You don't have to speak it out loud for Christ to know what you're thinking right now. Amen. While you're thinking about what's been said and what's been taught and what's been saying and what's being preached, and our minds like a computer are working over and over and over and over, but Jesus knows what you're thinking right now. Just because Simon didn't say it had no bearing on what Christ knew was in his heart. That's why only a public expression or an outward manifestation does not impress God. It never has and it never will, because he knows if it's coming from your heart. Amen. Just a public expression doesn't do anything. It may help somebody. It may cause somebody else to have some feelings or some emotions. But God knows the motivation and exactly where it's coming from. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon. We're eating at your house and the food's good, but we need to talk about something else. Besides that, I have something to say to you, Simon. Amen. There was a man and he had creditors, and one of them owed him 500 pence and one owed him 50. And he forgave both accounts. I mean, just a stroke of a pen or with a public display of affection or forgiveness, just wiped it off. Amen. Yeah, just that's our expression. Just wrote it off. You know what? Boy, I wish I could help somebody here this morning. I can already tell this is going to get long because there's a lot of stuff coming to my mind. But there's a lot of us would do a lot better. And we would feel a lot better toward a lot of other people that we worship with if we would just write some things off. It doesn't matter if they ever come and ask. Well, they haven't come and asked me for it. Well, just write it off anyway. It'll make you feel better. And you don't even have to make a public display. Just in your mind and your heart, just mark it off. Just let it go. Amen. And when you can do that, man, it just makes you feel so much better. Makes you feel better when you see that person. It makes you feel better when you interact with them. It makes you feel better when you're by yourself. It takes away that place of, you know, I'm going to say this and they're going to say that. When they say that, I'm going to say this. When they say answer that, then I'm going to, you know, when we have this little conversation. How many know when you have one like that, you win every time? Maybe y'all don't have them. It's kind of quiet. You ever have them when you're asking the questions and answer them too, man, you can do good. But you know what, Brother Tony? God knows all the time what we're thinking. Simon, I got something to say to you. Now listen, try to get this picture. Now this is some things I've read and studied. I can't prove this because I didn't live in Eastern culture, but they say, people that know, say that in the Eastern culture, when someone comes into someone's house, they sort of couch to eat. They didn't necessarily sit around a table like we do. And they would lay on one side and maybe fold their knees up, you know, turning their feet away from the table. Y'all still here? They would lay on their side and turn their feet away from the table, and that made room for the next person to move up there. And that's just the way they dined in those times in Eastern culture, which would have had Jesus in that position of his feet being off the floor and turned out away from the table. When this woman, come on now, amen, and I don't know if Jesus had already at some other time had forgiven her, but there was a change. There was something that had happened in her heart, and she came in knowing that he was dining in the house of that Pharisee. Hallelujah. Amen. If it's about this high and Jesus' feet is a couple of feet off of the floor, she walks into where he's at and leans over his feet, and those tears coming out of her eyes begin to fall onto his feet because she is weeping. Do you understand why she's weeping? Jesus told us the understanding of it. She no doubt was one of those that owed 500 pence. Amen. And she had been forgiven much. Praise God. Amen. Those tears are washing the feet of Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes, that is a public display of affection. She takes the hairs of her head and dries those feet and gets the dust and the dirt and the grime that's off of the feet of Jesus. Amen. Are y'all still here, church? Oh, thank you, Jesus. And after that, when she feels like his feet are clean, she begins to repeatedly, over and over and over, begin to kiss the feet of Jesus. I wish somebody would help me preach in here. Amen. You know something? She was taking a chance, even going inside the Pharisee's house. The Pharisee was keeping track of folks in the town of who they were and what they were doing. And he even knew when she came in that she was a sinner. But her display of affection was real, thank God. Somebody help me preach in here this morning. It was genuine. It was real. She washed his feet with her tears, dried them with the hairs of her head. Amen. How many know she probably needed a head washing when she got home? But she said, you know what? It's worth it. I love him so much. He changed my life so much. I wonder, somebody in this house this morning would start remembering about where you were and how far away you were when somebody showed you some affection and love and demonstrated, I may not get anything back from this, but I love you so much that I want to pour into your life. Man, a public expression. This woman is so overcome with emotion and gratitude that everyone was convinced of her devotion to Christ because she had been forgiven much. Jesus said, Simon, I come in your house. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't have a display like that. But this woman, ever since she's been here, has ceased not to wash my feet with her tears. Amen. Oh, come on now. We use it as a slang expression, almost a curse word. If somebody don't like something, they can kiss my foot. Amen. I don't recommend that anybody go around saying that. That's derogatory. Don't do that. But we've heard that expression. Amen. It's demeaning. It's a put down. But she loved Jesus so much, amen, that she was willing to do that. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I hope I'm helping somebody in this house this morning. The one that had been forgiven much, loved much. much. Her affection was real, praise God. And I believe it was contagious. Amen. Holy Ghost, help me preach. I realize I'm needing to move on here. I'd like you for a moment to take what I've just shared with you and contrast that. Matter of fact, you can find some commentators think this is the very same time and setting. Others disagree and think it's a different time. Amen. But at least Matthew's account is in the very same chapter. Luke recorded it in chapter 7. Matthew records it in chapter 26. Amen. Is it coincident that in this same chapter is the chapter that we have that the story of the other disciple? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. With some other disciples, when they seem to have a selective sense of outrage, amen, right here in this chapter, it seems like when they see the affection and the public expression of love, this alabaster box has been broken, the aroma is going out in the room, amen, and I know we credit it to Judas, and it was, but it seemed like there were some other disciples that at least were in on the discussion. Could not this have been sold and given to the poor? Come on now. Amen. We need to be careful also about what our sense of selective outrage is. Amen. We may have it for somebody else. And we may have somebody else's number. And we may be able to plow their row and come down right where they're living. But are we willing to look at where we are? Come on now. This is not easy to preach this way. But are we willing to analyze ourselves and analyze our motivations? Amen. It sounded good. It would have sounded good to Simon. It sounded good to the other disciples. Amen. Why didn't we take this and sell this and give to the poor? Amen. Jesus has been teaching us the Beatitudes. That seems like something he would want us to do. Amen. But Jesus also knew what was in their heart and what they were saying. And finally, he got all of it he could take. And he said, leave her alone. Don't say another word to her. What she has done to me is for me and my burial. Amen. And another thing I get happy about this story. Jesus said everywhere that this gospel is preached, we're going to tell about this woman. Amen. She just elbowed her way right into the holy writ. Amen. Why? Because it was more than just a public display. It was coming from her heart. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. We as believers must always be aware of our motivations. They might serve us an opportunity. Use them in a good way. It might serve as an opportunity for self. Come on now, not everybody else, but self-examination. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Doctors will tell you, patients, if there's something going on in your body that's not right, you should know more than anybody else. Amen. Self-examination is so important. Amen. Well, how am I doing? Am I wearing y'all out? We doing okay so far? Amen. If the Holy Ghost will help me, I will attempt to describe the setting as well as I can. You know it as the Last Supper. Again, there's a lot of details I could talk about, but you know them, and I'm not going to go there today. It's at that point. It's at crunch time. It's right down to that point, Brother Galen, where time is running out. Everything the prophets have said about Jesus Christ, many of them in the last few days, this last week, have rapidly been fulfilled. And now there's a few more. He must cross every T. He must dot every I, and time is of the essence. Amen. Are y'all coming in here? You getting the point with me here? Here they are, sitting at supper. Amen. And Christ is talking to them, trying to fulfill everything, get all the information to them that they need right here. Amen. I will attempt to describe it the best I can. At that moment, Jesus dips that sop and gives it to Judas with orders to be tended to in rapid pace. Judas goes out and closes the deal. Amen. Are y'all still here? He closes the deal with the scribes. Amen. With the elders, with the high priest for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. Oh, yes, it's happening fast now. Oh, yes. Judas goes and closes the deal. They organized the arresting officers. Are y'all still with me? And they headed toward the garden because Judas had been there oft times when they had a good evening meal and before they would retire to go to bed, Jesus and his disciples would stop by that garden and they would pray. Amen. I'd like to preach to somebody this morning in your routine of life, in your public expression of devotion. Does your children and your grandchildren know where your treasure is by where you go and what you read and what you talk about? Somebody's not hearing me preach this morning. I feel like I've lost some folks in the process here. Amen. Jesus had such a display of love toward his Father that those 12 disciples, even that one in that backslid moment, knowing he had had supper with them, I know exactly where they'll be. I know exactly where Jesus is going. Amen. Come on now. It's Wednesday night. And no need to call them right now. They're in church, don't you know? It's Sunday morning. I need to call some. Oh, no need to call them now. They're in church. They're your friends and loved ones. Do the people you elbow with and hobnob with, do they know that about you? And can they say that? I know where he is. His public expression of devotion is such. I know where he's at on Sunday. I know where he's at on Wednesday. I know where he'll be doing. Amen. He's studying his lesson. He's getting ready to go to church. Praise God. Come on now. They knew and Judas knew. And he told them, I know where they'll be. They'll be in the garden. And you guys get ready. And we're going to go to where he is. And the one that I walk up to and kiss. That's your man right there. Take him. Man, they went with a multitude. Word quickly passes through the ranks. Because I believe there's 100 or better that show up to arrest this lowly man from Galilee. If they'd have had 1,000, it still wouldn't have been enough. If Jesus would have not submitted. But they thought they had adequate for whatever he might do. So, they're all ready. They're loaded. Their swords. They got the paperwork done. They have the orders. They have the warrants. Everything they need legally to go take him. Amen. Watch Judas. Because he's going to go up and kiss the one. When he kisses him, then that's the one you're going to take. Amen. Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. They walk into that garden. Jesus walks up. The disciples wake up. I hope I'm helping you this morning. And Judas, I'm going slow for a reason. I'm trying to. I think I feel the Holy Ghost maybe doing this today. The posse walks up. The disciples wake up. And Judas goes to Jesus and says, Hail Master, and starts kissing up. Amen. One rendering said that he repeatedly kissed Jesus over and over and over and over. It's like you can't get enough of him. Hail, Master. Amen. One old preacher you told me about, Brother Jeff, so many years ago, that said, Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. Somebody help the preacher preach right now. Are y'all okay? It was a public expression of affection. So fake. And so feigned. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The feigned affection on display. Amen. Well, I wished I could help somebody here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. Come on now. When his wrath is kindled but a little while, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Probably every one of us in this story know in a matter of a few hours' time, it didn't work out like Judas thought it was going to. It didn't work out like those he coveted with promised him that it would. In a matter of a few minutes, they had him in court and they were planning his execution. Amen. And Judas realized it. He went out and tried to have a prayer meeting. He prayed, but he was like Esau. He found no place of repentance. He took that blood money and walked back into the temple. I wished I had a bag of it and a wood floor to get you the sound. No doubt he just slung it out. And you could hear the coins bouncing across the floor. Amen. And he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. I feigned the whole thing. I'm telling you, the man's real. I'm telling you, he's genuine. Everything I've been saying about him is not the truth. I want out of this deal. But you know what? It was too late. In a matter of a few hours, Judas is hanging in his field with a rope around his neck, and he's gone into eternity. Would somebody help the preacher here this morning? Amen. Come on now. It very well could have been a showcase of affection that day in David's courtroom. I bring you back to that. When David come off of that throne and kissed that angry young man that was hostile toward himself and toward others around him and toward other family members. But I tell you what, there wasn't anything fake about it. When that second runner ran to the wall where David was and said, all we know about your boy is he's hanging over there in an oak by the hair of his head, and he's dead, my God. Amen. I'm telling you, it got real then when David said, Absalom, Absalom, my son, I died for you, man. I've done anything to save your life. Why are you letting it be so? Amen. Somebody needs to come on across here this morning. Are you just displaying something that's not real, or are you being real through and through? Genuine, because God knows if it's tears that are real. He knows if the kiss is real, and he also knows if it's fake. He knows. I'm almost done preaching. I don't know what to tell y'all to get a song here. Amen. I just fear, this is one thing I want to say to you today. I fear in this time that we're living in that we want to get close enough, just close enough to Jesus. I felt like saying this. We want to get close enough to him that we have an understanding and we have a reality. But we don't want to actually go to him and kiss him. That gets a little bit out of our comfort zone. That's just a little bit too much. But we want to go to church. We want to be around church. We want to do church things. We want to be close enough to him that we can just blow him a kiss on the way by. I won't make it today. I won't make it tonight. You know I love you, Lord. Are y'all getting the point? I sure do love you, Lord. But I'll be over here this weekend, but we'll send our tithe over. We'll... Am I painting a picture here this morning? We don't want to be totally separated. We don't want to be totally outcast. But we don't want to have that closeness, that exposure, that reality of kissing Him. Ooh. Kiss the Son and keep it real. Jesus, the Son of God. I don't want to just fly by. I don't want to do everything I do and just have a pretense or have a shell. What I'm trying to say over and over and over and over, God's working in this church. He's trying to take us to the next level, and He wants to move everybody. I tell you what happens when God starts moving people and the church starts moving, it causes others to be in a place where they have to decide if they're going to go or not. And when we go to that next level of walking closer to Him, that always means a greater devotion. That always means a greater commitment. Jesus said, or Psalm prophesying David, kiss the Son. Too many of us live our life like Peter did after that great fishing trip, after the resurrection of Christ, when they caught 152 great, big, nice fish. And Peter's walking around. I mean, this would be like some of us come back from vacation or big fishing trip. Amen. Did you hear about that good service we had? Did you hear about that camp meeting? Yeah, boy, I heard about that, man. Look at that thing right there. Look how big that fish is there. Yeah. Did you hear about so-and-so getting saved? Yeah, ain't that good? I'm glad they got saved. But man, look at that. Look, hey, have y'all heard what's been happening on my job here lately? Hey, did you hear this? There's been a move of God somewhere? Oh yeah, that's great. We love that. Look here what's going on here. Peter, lovest thou me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Yeah, all right, Lord, I'll get around to that. But boy, we got it. We'll just wait till we tell them other boys that should have been with us what we got here. Peter, lovest thou me? Why, sure, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Amen. Hey, be sure y'all tell John and Matthias and all them we caught a bunch of fish last night. Yeah, Lord, thank you. I'm sure glad you're here today. We probably wouldn't have caught these if it hadn't been for you anyway. Come on, somebody help me preach in here. You wouldn't have all these blessings if it wasn't for Him in the first place. Peter, feed my sheep. Lord, this time finally gets His attention. He's grieved. You know what He's doing? He's been blowing Him kisses. Peter has. But he's grieved in his spirit now. Lord, you know that I love you. And He does know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, Peter. Quit blowing Him a kiss and trying to get back in the boat. Quit talking about jobs and careers and vacations and family. Christ desires a relationship with you that is real. Am I helping y'all this morning? Is there any doubt when that prodigal son got out of the hog pen and started home? Amen. Somebody come on, get ready to sing. Brother James, can you come up with something to sing? Can you pray about it just a moment? I'll give you a little bit of time here. When he finally comes to that place and he starts home and his father looks down the road and sees him. Amen. Come on, y'all. You've read the Bible. You studied it. What did that father do? Come on, talk to me. Help me preach. What did that father do? I know he was looking and he saw him, but when he realized it was him, and he could see the stride in his gait, and he knows for sure it's his son, before there's ever a word exchanged, that father runs to him, and falls on his neck, and embraces him, amen, and kisses him. You know what that is? That's the father's expression of affection. I have received you. I have forgiven you. Amen. Come on now. In that time, in that culture, it meant different things than it does to us now. Amen. The people on David's throne and around him were watching for that moment. Will he come down off of that throne? And will he kiss his son? Amen. The same thing with a prodigal son. Will that father come away from his busy activities and run to meet that prodigal and fall on his neck and kiss him and receive him? Amen. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ does it for you, it is real. He has forgiven you. He has received you. And he has accepted you. Somebody ought to get excited in here this morning about Jesus and us being accepted in the beloved. Amen. Solomon, Song of Solomon said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. How many remember the days you go to the store? I don't know, maybe they still do it now. You could buy oranges that say sun-kissed. Come on, y'all. Did y'all hear me? You buy those oranges that say sun-kissed. We are supposed to kiss the sun, but it's also wonderful when the sun kisses us. Man, I need to connect with somebody this morning. I don't know. It seemed like we're a little scattered out here this morning. But he kisses us. We can sing the song sometimes. Oh, yes. Jesus loves me. Sing it with me. Come on. It's a card class song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes. Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know. Come on, sing it with me. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him. That's all of us. Amen. We are weak, but he is strong. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Could I have a worship in church? Would you stand to your feet for a moment or two? Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me. One more time. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I'm almost done. One little illustration. A good preacher friend of mine shared with me some time ago. I've shared it here a couple of times maybe, but it's on my mind again. I want to share it with you, especially for those who have never heard about that woman. Her testimony was she lived in the state of California. Very evil place, a vile place, very, very little education, very little teaching about the love of Christ. She really didn't even know if she believed in God. She maybe at best was an agnostic, if not an atheist. Are y'all still here? Y'all hearing me fine back there? Amen. Living alone, a single parent, single mom. Takes the little, I think it's about a 5-year-old, 4 or 5-year-old child. Drops him off at daycare. Something happens during the day. And there's an accident, a ball or something, some toy the child is playing with. Rolls into the street like happens so often. The child pursues the object as an oncoming vehicle comes by. runs the child over. They take it to emergency into the hospital, begin to work with the child, and the life of the child was spared with some recovery time. A few days, maybe two or three days spent, that mother, and they called her, and she went to the side of that child day after day, day and night for 3 days, I believe it was, Brother John. Finally, child was stable. She felt like she could maybe get away, go home, get a little rest, take a little nap, clean up, take a shower, change clothes, go back for another duration. So she does that. She rests, spends some time, change of clothes. On the way back to the hospital, something compels her to drive by that place, that scene of the accident where that child had been injured. And she goes there and she finds the place. She stops and she just leans over the steering wheel with such emotion and such rage of all the things that has gone wrong in her life. And she began to curse God. She said she cursed God with every explicit, everything she could think of to try to belittle Him in every way that she possibly could. It was vile and horrible and raging. And when that display of emotion was out of her, leaning and weeping over that steering wheel, she said such a calm and peace come in that car and all over her, and she didn't understand it. And in that moment, the voice of the Lord spoke to her out of that. And she said, it said, all your life, I have waited for you just to acknowledge that I exist. Even though you curse me, even though you call me every vile name you can think of, in that expression, you admitted that I exist. And in other words, I'm here to show you today that I love you. And what I'm saying to you, I believe at that moment, in that car, in that rage, Jesus Christ the Son, come in that automobile and kissed that woman and changed her life. Praise God. Her testimony is she went to a Bible-believing church and confessed Jesus Christ. Amen. And began to acknowledge Him. Amen. Come on, saints of God. You know what? You know why we're not going to worship? You know why some of y'all are not going to come forward? You know why some of y'all are not going to come to church tonight? You know why some of y'all are not going to get in this service? It's because you have not been forgiven, at least in your estimation. God didn't really even have to do that much in your life. But I wonder what would happen in a Pentecostal service if every one of us that have been saved and have a knowledge of Jesus Christ would realize we are forgiven. And He has forgiven us much. And we, above every race and every tongue and every kindred and every display of action of worship, we ought to do better at it. We ought to be more thorough. We ought to have more zeal than anybody else in this world because we know Him. Would somebody shout hallelujah with the saints of God at Bethany? Amen. On this last Sunday before fellowship meeting, would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? Would you lift your heart? Amen. And thank Him because you have been forgiven. Amen. Come on, come on. I got to close. Come on and get ready to sing here. I went way too long probably. Amen. I hope I'm helping somebody here this morning. Amen. There ought to be a public display of affection from the saints of God. And it needs to be real in our life. Amen. Surely every one of us, surely every one of us can look back and think of things in our life that would be so different had it not been for what Jesus done in our life. Amen. Brother Mike, you and your lovely bride, will y'all come and stand right here in front of this pulpit? Amen. This couple's been with us a couple of times now, and we're so glad they're here, aren't we, Bethany? Brother Mike asked for special prayer. So I want the elders to gather around. Preacher, brethren, the elders, lay hands on them. I don't know what that need is, but God knows.
I was diagnosed with diabetes, but I'm not believing it. And I've been struggling with that for about over a year now, you know, and I believe that's a lie from the devil, you know, but I need prayer because I've been struggling for a whole year, Pastor. And, you know, I want this gone, completely gone, you know, and I don't believe it. I believe it's a lie from the devil. When they said that in the hospital, you know, I said, what are they shouting and praising for when it's a big fat lie, Pastor? And I just need prayer from all the saints.
Praise God. Elders, lay hands on this couple. Saints, lift your hands all over this house. God wants to kiss somebody here this morning. These altars are open. These altars are open, just like they always are. You know that. Come on, let's find our place around the altars this morning here. Amen. Come on, saints. What's your display? We come against diabetes in the name of Jesus. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Come on, Brother Mike. Believe God here this morning. Woo! Oh, holy, 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 holy. Let God do what He wants to do here in this service. Sing God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Keep it real, keep it real, keep it real. Don't honor Him with your lips only. Let it come from a demonstration of your heart.